following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, boy. Well, best laid plans and all that stuff. So I had a show planned, but right now we are on verdict watch. Oh, yeah. We are just waiting for the judge and the jurors and the defendant to enter the courtroom. In fact, let me just bring up the live shot so I'm not having to constantly look over to my side to see if they're there. If you're watching us on Twitch or Facebook or Twitter, we're still suspended from YouTube, then we'll get the verdict together. They said it was going to come down between 3:30 and 4 Central Time, which is between 4:30 and 5 Eastern Time. Well, it is now 5:01 Eastern. And so we're waiting. This is hard because it seems so cut and dry, right? It seems like it's a no-brainer. It should be so easy. And actually, I messaged our friend Jack Rice and I asked him, I said, is a verdict this fast a good sign? He said, generally, yes. 3 weeks, 37 witnesses. So, and Allison just texted me. George Floyd murder trial. Sorry, just trying to keep my daughter apprised of what's going on. So speaking of my daughter, you know, I was concerned that the verdict was going to come down tomorrow. Because tomorrow, just giving you ample warning here, I will not be here. I need to take another day off. And you know, I don't do it very often. So, but my kid just moved into this apartment. She's still, we have work to do. So, and she's off on Wednesdays. That's why Wednesday. But I was convinced, because I'm not going to be here, that the verdict would come down tomorrow during the show. Thankfully, we'll get it momentarily. The problem is, I'm worried. It should be guilty on all three counts, right? That just makes the most sense. But we've been burned before. Again, I'm having flashbacks to Los Angeles. And when was it, 1992, maybe? When the Rodney King verdict came down, and it was horrific. It was, they found those cups. There was videotape there, too. We saw it, and they said not guilty. I know what happened the next few days in Los Angeles, and I really do not want a repeat of that. So we wait. They should be there any minute now. I have no idea what the holdup is. None of us do. But meantime, the trial ended on, when was it? On Friday? Yes, Friday. The final words was it yesterday? Everything is running together. Yesterday. Duh. They got the jury instructions, and the attorneys did their closing arguments. Of course, we know that they both went on a little too long, but the defense especially. But the prosecution got to have the final word after the defense did their whatever the hell that was that he did. And the way that Mr. Blackwell ended his closing argument, I thought was picture perfect. Of course, we know. Whoops. Hold on. Why do I have audio coming in? I gotta fix that. I shouldn't have anything. Oh, I see. It's coming from there. Okay. Now we can do this. Mr. Blackwell?
You were told that Mr. Floyd died because his heart was too big. You heard that testimony. Mm-hmm. And now, having seen all the evidence, having heard all the evidence, you know the truth. And the truth of the matter is that the reason George Floyd is dead, it's because Mr. Chauvin's heart was too small.
Yeah. Mr. Chauvin's heart was too small. That's if he only had a heart, you know, we can sing, but we won't. You know, the prosecution, I'm not going to play any of the defense stuff, but the prosecution. Okay, here they go. All right, here we go. Verdict coming. Here's the judge. We are live. Okay. Oh, God, good luck to us all, please. Judge not wearing his mask. Okay. Boy, he's taking his sweet time, isn't he? Yes, your mic is live. Is this thing on? Uh-oh, there's the murderer. Everyone's standing.
All right, it's for the jury.
Oh,
the
jury's coming in. Okay. I hope you fry, you murderous cop. I'm trying to see who's in the courtroom, but it's hard to tell.
All right, please be seated.
Okay. Jury's there. Here we go. I feel like I should
have
a drum
roll. I understand you have a verdict.
Oh, boy. He's opening the envelope. Oh, please do the right thing here. Please.
Members of the jury, I will now read the verdicts as they will appear in the permanent records of the 4th Judicial District.
Okay, here we go.
State of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, District Court, 4th Judicial District.
Yeah.
State of Minnesota Plaintiff versus Derek Michael Chauvin, Defendant.
Okay.
Verdict, Count 1, Court File Number 27, CR20-12646. We, the jury, in the above-entitled matter as to Count 1, unintentional second-degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty.
Yes!
His verdict agreed
yes!
to this 20th day of April,
yes!
2021.
Second degree murder,
PM.
Guilty!
Signed
yes!
Four person, juror number 19.
Look at his eyes. You fucked up, Derek.
Same caption, verdict count 2. Ugh. The jury in the above entitled matter at count 2, third degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty.
Guilty!
His verdict
yes!
agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021. Whew. At 1:45
p.m. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Signed
thank
by
you.
Jury four-person juror number 19.
Mm-hmm.
Same caption, verdict count 3. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 3, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant mm-hmm. guilty.
Yes.
His verdict agreed to
yes.
the 20th
guilty
April,
on all counts.
At 1:45
as it
PM.
Should be. Thank
jury
you, jurors. Thank you. And look at
members
this murderer.
Jury,
you are a murderer.
Your true and correct verdicts. Please respond yes or no. Juror number 2, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 9, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 19, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 27, are these
I'm
your true and correct verdicts?
I'm going to let this go because this is important.
Juror number 44, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 52, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 55. Are
Derek
these
Chauvin
true and
doesn't look
verdicts?
Very happy right
yes.
now. Maybe you should have thought about that when your knee was on his neck.
Yes.
Juror number 85. Are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 89. Are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 91. Are these mm-hmm. your true and correct verdicts?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
juror
you.
Juror number 92. Are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Are these your verdicts, so say you one, so say you all?
Yes.
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 Members of the jury, I find that the verdicts as read reflect the will of the jury and will be filed accordingly. I have to thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota.
Now,
for
Derek Chauvin,
service,
what happens
but heavy
to
duty
you?
Jury service. What I'm going to ask you to do now is to follow the deputy back into your usual room, and I will join you in a few minutes to answer questions and to advise you further. So, all rise for the jury.
All rise for the jury, and let's give them a round of applause because they deserve it. Fuck yeah. As it should be. And you, sir, are gonna fry. Probably not,
right.
But.
You seated?
Well, let's see what second degree murder. He's not gonna sentence him now.
Returned, we're gonna have Blakely, you may file a. Written argument as to Blakely factors within 1 week. The court will issue findings on the Blakely factors, the factual findings, 1 week after that. We'll order a PSI immediately, returnable in 4 weeks. And we will also have a briefing on, after you get the PSI, 6 weeks from now, and then 8 weeks from now, we will have sentencing. We'll get you the exact dates in a scheduling order. Is there a motion on behalf of the state?
Your Honor, the state would move to have the court revoke the defendant's bail and remand him into custody.
Yeah.
Bail is revoked, bond is discharged,
and the defendant is remanded
to the custody of the county sheriff.
Yes.
Anything further?
Aye.
Thank you.
All done. The murderer is remanded. So yes, they're revoking his bail. He is being handcuffed and led away. This is fucking awesome.
We're adjourned.
We're adjourned. Phone lines are open. I'm curious to know how you're feeling right now. 954-889-6410 is the phone number, should you care to weigh in. I'm actually calling Jack to see if he has a couple of minutes to call in. We're still going to talk to Driftglass in a little while, but I'm sure Jack Rice is kind of busy right now. This is great news. That man had a very small heart. That's why he did. You know, how do you not do this? So joining us on the line right now is Jack Rice. Hey, Jack, guilty on all counts. Wow.
Guilty on all counts. I only have a couple of minutes, but realistically, when you look at a jury come back that quickly, here's what that means. That means that a jury hasn't needed to think about it that long. They have come together. They have coalesced. They've thought about what they're trying to do. And that really happened before they actually went back to deliberate. So when they come back that quickly, within just a handful of hours, they didn't go through all of the evidence. Mm-mm. They didn't think about every single witness. They made very specific decisions, and they came back on all counts.
That's what I asked you yesterday, if they go through all the evidence first, or do they just vote on everything first to see where they stand? And obviously, it sounds like that's what they did.
Yep, it was a straw poll. And I think what you got was everybody walking back, getting into a room together and saying, okay, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
And so that's really what was happening in this case. By the way, this is what happens next. What we're going to see is it's likely that Derek Chauvin will be taken into custody.
He was.
They will revoke his bail.
They did.
And ultimately, they'll keep him, and they'll do something called a pre-sentence investigation. They may set sentencing for anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks out, and Mr. Chauvin is going to spend a very long time in custody. That is for sure.
Awesome. Yes, they revoked his bail immediately. We saw him led out of the courtroom in handcuffs. This is great news. This should be... I don't know that celebration is called for, but people's the temperature should have come down quite a bit, a few degrees there in Minneapolis at least today.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot of police in the streets. There's a lot of National Guard in the streets. And I think the real question now, and I think there is a need to acknowledge this as an important decision. And yet at the same time, I think there's a question now sort of systemically, will police departments around the country look at this and say, see one bad apple, and then let's move on. There's nothing to see here, folks. Or will they look at this in the broader sense and say, there is some systemic change that must take place here? And that question, honestly, is still out.
Oh, okay. You know, somebody on the Facebook page just made a statement that rang with me all day yesterday. The defense, Eric Nelson, kept talking about a reasonable police officer. Well, we didn't have a reasonable police officer there. That's what happened. A reasonable police officer wouldn't have done this. So
That is in fact the case. If you look at Eric Nelson's closing in this case, I think
horrible.
The real problem is it did not connect. The jury listened to what he had to say for more than 2 hours. And the problem is it just did not viscerally and intellectually connect with them. Mm. And I think as a result, they simply rejected it outright. It's clear based upon how quickly they determined this thing that this is how it was going to play out. So it's pretty astounding.
It is astounding. Jack Rice, I know you're busy today. I thank you so much for jumping on with us to put a sort of a fork in it because, well, it's not quite done yet. Sentencing is next. Second-degree murder, what is the penalty? What is the sentence for that usually?
In Minnesota, presumptive prison commit according to the Minnesota sentencing guidelines, is 150 months. The prosecution may seek a double upward departure for special circumstances, so we could be looking at a very, very, very long time in this case. One thing we can say for sure, Derek Chauvin is going to prison.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, my God. This is just what we needed today. Jack, thank you for walking us through this trial. And today, this is the best news we could hope for on a day like this. So I don't know what we say. Congratulations. Good. Justice is served.
Well, if nothing else, what we can hope for is that it was smart that the judge put this on TV. Transparency is critically important, and due process has to show itself. The fact that there was a conclusion that this jury came to and they said not guilty, I'm thrilled with the answer. If that's what the jury thinks, I'm hoping that the people in the streets will acknowledge and support that too.
Yes. Oh, definitely. All right. Jack Rice, thank you so much. We will talk again soon, I'm sure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Jack Rice, of course, a criminal defense attorney based in Minneapolis, plus an old colleague of mine from Air America, also a former CIA officer and overseas like war correspondent. I mean, Jack Rice is the man. He's done it all. But right now he is a criminal defense attorney in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, who lives just like 10 blocks away from the corner where George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin. And that is the correct term to use, because Derek Chauvin was just convicted of second degree murder, third degree murder, and manslaughter. I think it was second degree manslaughter. Guilty on all counts. Ding dong. Thank goodness. Because the last thing we needed were nationwide riots, which I don't want to say it would have been justified, but, you know, if they had found this killer cop not guilty, I don't even want to think of what the mood of the country would have been. But it's all good now. So anyway, I don't know if you want to weigh. I mean, I'm looking at the Twitch chat room and I'm looking at the Facebook page, Twitter. You know, we do stream video on Twitter, but there's a lot of likes and yes, and retweets, but not a lot of conversation going on there. So if you would like to call in, please do. 954-889-6410 is the number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype into Nicole Sandler. Driftglass is going to join us in a little while. Actually, I should see if he wants to come on early. But I could play other stuff. I could talk about other things. I don't know. I feel weird doing that. We could talk about Maxine Waters for a moment. The House just was unsuccessful in their bid to censure her. Did you hear about that? Maxine Waters was out in Minneapolis over the weekend, and she spoke. She said, well, let me play for you what she said. Because, you know, look, every one of us steps in it every now and then. Maxine Waters, I love, but occasionally, you know, she goes a little further than she needs to. So anyway, this is her statement that came under so much scrutiny.
That meant that I could not be satisfied without coming here to let the family know and the friends know.
It's kind of noisy.
And the people of this community know and all those who have organized for justice know that I stand with you and I'm going to stand not only with you but continue to fight in every way that I can for justice. For justice.
What's your opinion of the police reform efforts that are being discussed right here, and do you think that any of them have any hope of being enacted through maybe this Congress?
Well, I am.
You know what? Hold on. I'm going to pause this for a second.
Police reform for so long.
Hold on 1 second, caller.
Not only this piece of legislation, but it's
you know what? I'm going to cue in all. Hold on, caller. I'm going to cue in all the if there you're still there. Cue in all the way to the end of the clip so you could hear the part that people got all freaked out about.
That
goes right here.
I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get. Verdict that would say guilt guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away. We got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need business.
Okay, so the one thing she said there that was objectionable was the word confrontational. We're going to stay in the streets. We're going to get active. And, well, you heard what happened. All right. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Nicole. It's Justin from Colorado Springs again.
Hey, Justin.
Sorry, I muted right before you played Maxine Waters. I was trying to not interrupt what you were doing there.
Oh, no worries.
Basically, you know, I just, it's a sigh of relief, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And the one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick is the reason the defense was citing the reasonableness standard was from a quest. It was a Supreme Court case, Graham versus Connor.
Oh.
And basically, this is my summation, so take it with a grain of salt. That the 14th Amendment only the 4th Amendment applies in terms of search and seizure when a cop is dealing with a situation, and that 14th Amendment protects like equal action or equal. I'm sorry, my mind's kind of racing here because I'm still trying to process all this.
Okay,
equal protection under a law
doesn't
apply when a cop stops you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, basically, it's one of the kind of, I would argue, is one of kind of the key contributing factors to the fact that cops can, you know, basically, if they feel threatened, they can react in the way that they can and do so with impunity.
Okay. All right. I'm a little lost there, but I hear what you're saying. Cops, maybe there needs to be some clarification of what cops can and can't do. I'm going to bring another call in to us because the phones are busy. Hi, who's this from the 310 area code?
I'm sorry?
Hi, who is this?
Oh, hi, this is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
California.
Hi, Tony, you're on with me, and I think Justin is still here in Colorado Springs. I'm going to go through sort of a lightning round because the phones are lighting up. So what are your thoughts?
Right. I'm happy, but it still isn't over.
No, it's not over. This stuff has got to not happen anymore. So what do we do next?
We got one. So what we have to do is come up with some legislation to stop this. That's the only way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one conviction, wow.
But
how many people been shot so far this year? We'll see.
Right. But this was a big one. I mean, this to convict a cop, this is a huge sea change. And hopefully we're seeing a change in attitudes where people realize, you know what, cops can do wrong too, and we've seen it too many times, and it's past time that they, you know, it's that they stop getting a free ride. I'm going to move on.
That's absolutely true.
Right. All right.
Thank you
for the call. I see someone from the 954 area code. Hi, who's this?
This is Jim. I have a 954 number.
Ah, but you're not down here?
I'm in Florida, but I'm in Virginia now.
I got you. Okay, you kept the area code.
In Fort Lauderdale.
I see.
Actually, I am really, really relieved about the whole verdict that it finally came out. Justice was made, let's hope. One of the reasons I called was I tried to call a couple times yesterday during your first half hour when you were reading that long list gun violence for a half an hour.
Yep.
And the only thing it reminded me of was if they ever get a real filibuster back.
Yep.
When they actually have to stand up and talk instead of just phoning or something in.
Yeah.
They should make, if they have any kind of gun legislation up for legislation in the Senate.
They should do what I did yesterday.
Anyone else who wants to filibuster it should have to get up there and read exactly what you read.
Absolutely. And let me tell
and
you
maybe,
something.
Maybe that, even go back a few years.
Yes, that was only 1 month.
What I all the way up.
What I read yesterday.
24 hours.
What I read yesterday was only 1 month. How sick is that?
Know.
1 month.
I know. And it was a half an hour. And that's
right.
Why I called a couple times, since you usually have a guest the second half hour.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'll just call Nicole today. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you did. And I'm glad we have.
Thank you. I listen to you every day.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's good to know you're out there. I appreciate it. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. I love this comment on Twitter from Birdie Lover 6. Trump is next. Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please. You want to weigh in? 954-889-6410. We had a flurry of calls all at the same time. And you know, I don't have anybody screening calls. And so I can really take them one at a time, or I can bring a few of you on together, which doesn't always work very well. Hi, who's this?
This is Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. We did it. Well, they did it. Thank goodness.
Well, get back on the saddle, because this is one down, three more to go.
What do you mean three more? Are there
those other officers that were
for this case? That's right.
Standing there just watching.
You're right. I forgot. All four cops were charged in George Floyd's death. Now, Chauvin was the only one charged with murder. The other ones probably got manslaughter charges, or maybe what's the indifference? I forget what the
term. Remember, they had their trials separate from Chauvin.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? It was there. Two of the guys were also had their body weight on George Floyd. And the third one, Tao, I think was his name. It was like his first week on the job and he was in training, but he stood there like a schmuck, you know, yelling at the people to stay on the sidewalk and not trying to help George Floyd. And right there is indifference. What is the term?
I read somewhere that if you take all three officers and all their gear, that there was about 500 pounds of weight on
him.
Floyd.
Yep, that's way too much. All right, Tamara, I'm going to move on, grab another call. Hi, who's this from the 779 area code? Hello? Oh, I think whoever's... Hello, are you there? Hello? I hear somebody. That's you! Or not. Okay. Heavy breathing. There was heavy breathing from the 779 area code. It is good news. I don't know when the next trial begins. I guess we will find out soon enough. Let's see if I can't connect with Driftglass, because he is joining us today. So we're a little loosey-goosey today. And again, let me... Oh, somebody else is calling in before I get Driftglass. Hi, who's this? Hello? Oh, I see. Hold on one second. Jack Rice, are you calling back again?
No, man.
No, you hold on one second. Jack, are you there?
Hey, I'm right here.
Yeah?
You know, I just wanted to follow up with you, because I've been thinking about sort of what comes next.
Yeah, and someone just reminded me, three more cops.
That really, I think, matters here.
Yeah, I think I'm behind.
And so this is what we are seeing right now, and I think... You're watching, hopefully, the response coming from the guard, coming from the police, coming from the public. You know, to call it tense here before the verdict was, they closed all the schools.
Wow.
I got a call from one of my daughters saying, come get me now.
Wow.
We started seeing the courts all closed down. We started seeing businesses closed down. A lot of them have been boarded up. And so that's part of where we are.
Wow.
And it'll be interesting to see that distinction. And I just wanted to add that piece and realize, I mean, that's the question we have right now, right? Is this simply going to be the police saying, oh, one bad apple?
Right.
So we will see.
And Jack, let me ask you this. There's one more, you know, there are three other cops. There's another trial coming. Do we have any idea when that's happening?
Yeah, that's supposed to happen in August.
Oh, and not till August.
It's likely we will see what happens in that case. We'll see one of those officers. It's very possible you may see one of those officers walk. I think it's possible. There's two, at least one, maybe two of the other officers who could go down in these charges as well. So we're going to see what happens as an accessory in this case. And understand, if you go down as an accessory in a case like this, you serve the same amount of time as if you were Derek Chauvin yourself.
Really?
So I think right now there are some officers who are very scared.
I bet. And good, they should be. And maybe, maybe this will cause some police officers to think twice before they go for their weapon or before they keep their knee on somebody's neck for 9.5 minutes, before they kill somebody, before they don't take people's lives seriously enough. Maybe they'll think twice.
You know what? That bigger question to me, the bigger question and that I saw from the police department as they performed on the stand during the Derek Chauvin trial was to make this argument that this is the one bad apple concept we've been hearing now over and over and over again. It's not that. It's something bigger and it's something more than that. I think that's going to be the real telltale sign whether or not a guilty verdict supports those who are saying one bad apple, or whether or not a guilty verdict will drive people to recognize that it's more than that. It's systemic in nature, and that it has to be addressed. It has to be changed.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we have to figure out.
Yes, definitely. Well,
anyway, go get them. I'm a fan. You know that.
Well, I am too. Jack Rice, always a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for following up as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, so that's Jack Rice. Oh, we got another call. Boy, it's going to be like this. Hi, 209 area code. Who's this?
It's your mom.
It's my mom?
Yeah.
All right, goodbye. I don't know who that is, but yeah, I don't have time for that crap. All right, hi, 760 area code. Who's on the line? Hello? Going once? All right. Okay. I hear you there. Are you there? Hello? All right. Somebody, when you call in, I don't have like a 9-second delay or anything because I'm afraid you're going to say fuck, but there is a bit of a delay. So when you call in, you need to be listening through the phone and not, not to the radio. Anyway, let's try to call our pal Driftglass. And while we're waiting for him, oh man, hold on 1 second, Driftglass. We got to do this first.
Go walk through the Golden Grooveyard, kicking off a silver dollar twist in with the Drift Glass.
When this whole world starts getting me
The Drifters. This is Drift Glass.
Oh, sorry. Here's Drift Glass with Nicole Sandler.
And Drift Glass, I just realized you probably didn't even hear that because it comes up on the same pot that you're on. But hi.
It sounded like the soothing sounds of the ocean.
Oh, so okay.
Relaxed
there you
now,
go.
Very calm.
Well, you use your imagination. So
I do. You don't want to peek inside my imagination.
I always do. Sure. Yes. Anyway, Driftglass, of course, one of the original gangsta bloggers at driftglass.blogspot.com, and also co-host of the Professional Left podcast with his wife, the lovely blue gal Fran. Driftglass is with us. So we dodged a bullet there.
Wow. Yeah, we dodged a whole lot of things. Well, you know, I'd like to think we did. I think we postponed some things. There's a reckoning still coming. But
for today,
and speaking as a middle-class white guy who's never going to run afoul of the police in the way any African-American will, I am extremely grateful that things worked out the way they did. And I just want to be a good ally to people who are going through this personally.
Going through what? Having had somebody in their family killed by a cop?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And who threatened by a cop.
By a cop.
There's a woman who's in my church group.
Mm-hmm.
Professional woman, nice white lady, married to a non-white gentleman. Also okay. Professional.
Uh-huh.
And Sunday, she was in tears because she has, you know, one little brown child and another one on the way, and just is like, I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to do.
Oh,
I don't know what
God.
To live in this country anymore. And I have no one to talk to about this. And for people like that,
yeah,
I want to be as good a friend and ally as I can be, because that's all I can do.
I hear you.
I'll protest with you. I'll walk with you. I'll sign petitions with you. I'll be in the streets with you. You know, how can I help is probably the only reasonable thing that people who aren't being victimized by the cops can say.
Right, right. You know, I got to tell you, the timing is interesting because tomorrow I'm taking the day off. My daughter just moved into her first apartment and she, you know, she needs my help. I get to be mom again because I'm fully vaccinated and now I can see her. Right. So I already planned on I'm taking Wednesday off. Of course, I was convinced that's when the verdict was going to come in. So it was very nice of the jury to, you know, to cooperate here. But so tomorrow I put together a show to play. And I don't do like best of like the show I played last week or a show that aired yesterday. I went back 10 years because 10 years ago this month was my big arrest at the so-called town hall meeting for Alan West, where I was mistreated by the police. And so I was arrested on, it was the 26th of April, 2011, 10 years ago this month. And I was next on the air on the 28th. And that show is what I'm playing when I tell the whole story of what happened. And, you know, this is me, a privileged white woman. Can you imagine if I was a woman of color, if I wasn't, you know, I see how they treated me. And I just know how much worse it could have been. And it was pretty fucking bad as it was. So that show's going to air tomorrow for anybody interested.
Well, that sounds like appointment listening. That sounds like something that people should show up for.
I think and so.
I got to say, as an OG blogger, and you are as well, it is a marvelous thing to have archives.
Yeah.
Because you really can. I mean, I'm working on a post right now on reaching back, because now this is entirely unrelated to this, and I want to get back to the verdict. But I'm seeing these Republicans who have regrets, you know, the Linda Chavez's and the Eric Cantors.
And John Boehner.
Rewriting the past really quickly so that the original sin that drove the Republican Party crazy was Barack Obama.
Right.
It was Obama who did it to us. We didn't want to go crazy. And it is nice to have archives that extend right through the Obama administration into the Bush years.
That's
so I can
right.
reach into it and say, no, that's just all bullshit.
That's right.
All bullshit.
And we do. You know, I've got 15 years of radio shows. You've got the written word. I've got the spoken word. But they're all there.
And it is a soothing thing and a useful thing. And it's also maddening.
Yeah.
Really is maddening to watch people just pick up history like it's a Etch-a-Sketch and shake it.
Right.
And then nothing ever happened. And today is the first day that ever was.
You know, I had mixed feelings when I heard the Boehner story. That I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. I'd like to read that book. And then I thought, just like with the John Bolton book, no way I'm putting 2 cents into that man's pocket. If someone wants to send me, you know, a PDF of it, maybe I'll read it. But, you know, he was such a heinous creature. And now to come out all holier than thou. But he says if Trump runs in 2024, yeah, he'll probably vote for him. What the fuck?
And he voted for him in 2020.
Yeah, really.
And he voted for him in 2016.
Yeah, so don't tell me that you know, you're above this Republican shit that they pull today, because it's the same shit, different year.
This is a theme that my wife and I return to repeatedly. There's a theologian, famous German theologian who was anti-Nazi, who died attempting to kill Hitler, frankly. Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Okay.
And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a theological explanation called cheap grace. It's you want grace, you want forgiveness, you want all the good stuff. Is you don't want to atone for anything, you don't want to admit anything, you don't want to confess anything, you don't want to change. I just want to be forgiven without any work at all. And that is what Boehner's on his cheap grace tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to take responsibility for this stuff. And right down the line, you can find pretty much every one of these guys, and they're mostly guys, never Trumpers.
Right.
Know, Michael Steele and Tom Nichols and the rest of them.
Yep.
Had no idea what was going on inside the Republican Party until 5 minutes ago.
Right.
The chairman of the GOP, Michael Steele, was stunned to discover the Republican Party is full of racists. Tom Nichols swears that he had no idea the Republican Party was full of Republicans because he lived in Massachusetts.
Oh, I see.
Like, what the hell? Then why are you on television as an expert? Well, because I have friends on TV and you don't.
Right.
But it's this, and it's not the lies that bother me, even though they're incredibly insulting to my intelligence because I know better. It's the letting them do it. It's them going on Meet the Press and going on the Sunday shows and being given a platform and nobody pushing back. I guess that's happening now. I guess that's what really happened in the past. Eric Cantor was on CNN.
I saw him. The sound wasn't up, and I had no inclination to turn it up to hear what he was saying. But you so should, what did he say?
Don't do it to yourself.
No, I didn't.
The reason the GOP flipped and the reason that now, you know, both sides are at each other's throats is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that the evil Kennedy usurper passed when Eric Cantor was in Congress.
Uh-huh.
And didn't get a single goddamn Republican vote in the House.
Right.
Three Republican votes in the Senate. Mm-hmm. But boy, howdy did they brag about spending the money.
Of course.
You know, they were all over the place with giant checks in front. But it was the black guy. It's always the black guy. He made us crazy by pushing through this giant piece of legislation, which, let me remind you, was one-third tax cuts so that Republicans could come to the table. And they just told him to screw himself. Every time he tried, they told him to fuck off. And here we are with Eric Cantor and Linda Chavez and all the rest of them saying, well, what do you expect? Obama was unreasonable, ran through all this stuff, and we didn't know. We couldn't control anything. The Speaker of the House had no control over his caucus. Like, you know,
right.
Who are you fooling? Well, I'm fooling people who are willing to pay $29.95 to listen to me, you know, call Donald Trump a poop head.
Right.
It's a novelty act.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all transient. That all moves through the political process. The verdict today is a historic thing.
Yeah.
It is, again, it is a glorious thing to see this guy guilty of every charge. The jury basically filed it and filed back to the room.
That's
and filed
it.
Right back out again.
Yep.
That was incredible. But considering that you had to bring to bear the entire country and video and expert witnesses and the most slam dunk case you could possibly have.
That's right. And we were still worried. And we were still worried, even though they came back in less than 24 hours. And that's usually a sign that, you know, it's a guilty. But we were still worried that this jury was going to come back and say not guilty because of history.
Yeah, exactly. Because of history. And then history is all still there. It's all still
that's
there.
That's right.
And I celebrate any victory that we as a country can get every time. I'm not going to skimp after this last year. I'm not going to skimp on feeling good about good things.
Uh-huh.
But the history of how African Americans are treated in this country is not going anywhere. I mean, I'm going through the Mark Twain documentary now, and this is, you know, how he wanted to put race front and center, and people were horrified at that idea. And it's just this, it never stops. And I can't imagine, this is me, again, a relatively privileged middle-aged white guy talking. I wouldn't survive 10 minutes in this country as a black man.
No.
I couldn't do it.
Nor would I.
And I don't, other than, again, asking, how can I help? How can I be of service? That is what I can offer. And sometimes that's showing up at a rally. Sometimes that's delivering food. Sometimes that's being someone you can talk to. When there's nobody to talk to about your family situation and what do I do with my children.
Right.
Just being there to listen. It's the job. The only thing that really gives me like sincere hope. Andrew Sullivan was trending this week.
Why?
His calipers and his phrenology and his... I don't know why people keep accusing me of talking about race, and then he talks all about how genetics. It's like, why are you still a thing?
Yeah, good question. So why was he trending? Did he say something particularly ridiculous? Or
yeah, he does that periodically. I think to remind Bill Maher that it's time
he's
for him
still
to
around.
Go on the show. It's like his little resume in the mail. Oh, by the way, Bill Maher, I just said something incredibly racist and asinine.
Yeah.
So would you put me on TV?
Of course. Well, you know, he's going to have his little girlfriend Barry Weiss on again soon because she's rearing her ugly head again. Yeah.
Well, there it's a cycle.
Yeah.
If you sort of stand back for long enough, it's like an advent calendar. they will all show up on a particular day and say a particular thing that's all very predictable. And the thing that gives me hope is my stepkids and their friends are never going to put up with this.
Right.
They're never going to stand for this. They're just bewildered that adults are still arguing over trans rights, gay rights, and race. They have no idea what the hell's wrong with grown-ups, but they should get the hell out of the way and let them fix things.
Well, without a doubt. You know what, Drift Glass? And this is a conversation that David and I had today because we were talking about Maxine Waters. And look, I usually love Auntie Maxine, but in this case, you know, she shouldn't have said they need to be more confrontational. That was a stupid thing to say while you're at a protest where, you know, things can get out of hand very rapidly, especially considering we didn't know what the verdict was going to be. That was dumb. It was what do they call it? An unforced error.
But that aside,
she's 82 years old. You know what, Maxine Waters, you've been a wonderful representative. Time to go home. I am so impressed with the next generation. Not impressed with ours. Not impressed with the millennials. But the young ones, the ones just coming up now, the ones just graduating high school and college, they're the ones who are going to change the world because they're not having any of this shit.
Oh, and I feel really bad about that because I feel like, hey, we screwed things up pretty good.
We really did.
How about you handle it now? And I'm going to go over here and be in a hammock and just call me if you need anything. I don't mean it in that way.
No, but I think that's what they'd rather we do so they could get on with the business of fixing things.
Exactly. And there's plenty to be fixed. And I see nothing but sort of pragmatic enthusiasm in that group. It's you know, we have a very specific idea of what we want to do with the planet, what the economy should be doing, how people should be treated, and the idea of fairness is drilled into us. And my wife said something very wise, because she is much smarter than wiser than I.
Yeah.
But it was, once you've seen your mother cry because Republicans are going to take away her health care and her children's health care, then you are changed forever.
Ah.
And a whole bunch of kids, including our kids.
And mine.
We live on the bubble.
And mine.
We're sitting there watching the Republican Party getting ready to take away our health care. We couldn't, had no other alternative. This, we were on the exchange. This is the only thing we could afford.
You and me
and
both.
We were hysterical.
Right.
And we have, you know, kids with conditions and kids who need meds and, you know, there are kids who have to go to the doctor. And it was just terrifying. And watching people have a beer bust in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
Taking health care away from people was a life transforming experience. And my wife, again, who's very wise, reminds me that the reason Democrats flipped the House in 2018 was that.
Exactly. I forgot about that beer party in the Rose Garden. That was sickening. That was sickening. And yes, it was because Trump thought he was going to be able to take away our health care and they were having a party. And they dare police our tone. It's just the hypocrisy is just, it's off the rack. It's in the stratosphere. It's sickening.
I can't get too wrapped around the hypocrisy because it's so consistent. It's like a geographic feature. It's never going to change. I'm personally much more interested in the enablers, the people who keep giving these people public platforms and keep saying, well, you know, it's really both sides. Well, you know, everyone, there's blame enough to go around.
Right. Well, it's the John Boehners who say they're horrible. This is the cuckoo caucus or whatever the fuck he called them. But then, will I vote for them? Yeah. Mitch McConnell called out Donald Trump from the Senate floor after he voted not to, convict him. But then and said he incited this insurrection. It's all on him. And then he's asked, well, if Donald Trump is the nominee in 2024, will you vote for him? Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I get the feeling that these people pretty much across the board, since they're politically useless, are just trying to level themselves up in the history books. They would like some future person to be able to go back and say, well, see, in this book, he said he didn't like Donald Trump and thought he was crazy. I don't know what history will look like 10 years from now because I flip on my PBS and I watch David Brooks saying getting out of Afghanistan is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, we're still there?
Yeah.
We're still parked there. We're still parked 12 years ago. We're still parked 20 years ago. And I notice these people who are all supposed to be the good ones, you know, they just want the Republican Party to recover and move along. Are all kind of moving back to their position. Now that Trump is in the rearview mirror, not completely.
No.
You know, they're starting to get worried about deficits again.
Yeah. That they didn't know for 4 years. A word that never entered their psyche.
Yeah. And they're starting to get worried about overreach.
Yeah.
And all of these things that were just maddeningly hypocritical before Trump. But they were making money. These are people who had these stupid opinions are now just, he's gone now? Oh, okay. We can go back to being the same assholes we were back in 2015, and we'll all agree to forget, because let's face it, our friends own the cameras and microphones, so we're not going to get called on anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where having an archive is can drive you mad, because I can just take a pin. Like, I don't know, what's a good example? Like a Talmudic scholar.
Okay.
I can take a pin and run it right through my archives to like 15 years ago.
Right.
And pull up an article where the same asshole who's saying this thing now was saying it 15 years ago.
Wow. Yes.
All of history has passed and they have not changed one iota. And I do wonder, in the long view of things, why does that person have this job? Why are people like this still being paid to shape public opinion?
Good question. You know, it's like the same people keep resurfacing. You have a piece up on your blog, Driftglass, about Mark Halperin. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Okay. So talk about archives. I went back in 2008 when I was doing mornings on WINZ in Miami when we still had a progressive talk station on the air. And Mark Halperin had a new book out, like the guide to the 2008 presidential candidates. And I pulled this interview because it got really contentious, because I was having none of him. I took him to task because he put in there the worst case scenario of, you know, potential candidates. And Hillary Clinton was one of them. And Rudy Giuliani was one of them. And for Hillary Clinton, he said the worst case scenario could be that Bill Clinton will embark on a series of, you know, ethical things and affairs. And the way he put it, it's like, you know, and embarrass her and have the drama and the soap opera. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? A series, he could embark on a series of embarrassing social affairs. And for Rudy Giuliani, the worst case scenario was something very effusive. Like, he's such a great, you know, man of the town, and he could do something. It was just so ridiculous. And I was going to play it, but I don't want to waste the time to do it. And I called him out on it. And he's like, well, you know, it could happen. That's the worst case scenario. And I told him what an asshole he was in not so many words. But, you know, the same people keep turning up again. And now he's on Fox?
Oh, no, he's on Newsmax.
Oh, on Newsmax. Oh,
he's on Newsmax.
Okay, and that's one step below Fox.
And the last 4 years, this is now, this is what I wrote today. The mainstream press, the Beltway press, will forget impeachments and insurrections within a few weeks.
Yeah.
They have spent the last 4 years trying to get Mark Halperin back in the saddle
on some station.
Ugh. This is Mike Smirkanish. This is Mika Brzezinski.
Yep.
This is Joe Scarborough. All this subterranean that it leaks out into the public effort to get him a job, which tells me their prime directive is protecting their own.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the news, has nothing to do with telling me anything. It is self-protection. And he had fallen about as far as you could go,
yep.
Which is, you know,
because the allegations against him, for people who don't know, the allegations were horrendous. Like, he'd whip it out in front of women when he was at ABC and jerk off in front of them. I mean, he pushed a woman against the wall. And I mean, it was just blatant. It was horrible. There was no innuendo there. It was in your face. And Mark Halperin was the guy with John Heilman. They were a team. And now John Heilman's riding high, and Mark Halperin is where he belongs, in the toilet, but they're trying to rehabilitate him.
Well, now he's got another job.
And
I used the example of Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
Anthony Weiner, who went to jail, mm-hmm. who got out of jail, and is now CEO of a small manufacturing company
is
that
he?
Makes countertops out of concrete and ground glass, and is a company that trains ex-offenders or formerly incarcerated and refugees.
Wow. Interesting.
Great. Good for you. Has no interest in going back to politics, but that's an example of, you know, here's a guy who screwed up and horribly did his time and came back and said, how can I be of service?
Yep.
Maybe it's
maybe good
it's
for him. I wasn't aware
legit.
Of that. Uh-huh.
Mark Halperin is one of those Beltway creatures that can't function outside of a place with a microphone and a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his sexual predation aside, which I don't want to do, you know, morally, but he's a terrible person.
That's right.
And his opinions are terrible. And
yes.
He used to go, I forget, it was Glenn Beck's radio show, I think. And Glenn Beck would say, you know, you're the only good one, Mark.
Oh,
the
God.
Only good one out there.
Oh,
you know, you're a... And he was just sopped it up. He was such a horrible, horrible hack. And it was always inexplicable. And then he called Obama a jerk. and was suspended for exactly 30 days.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the idea of the Halperin unit came up, which is no matter how badly you screw up, if you're in the club, 30 days and you're back in. And now he works. I told my readers, imagine the worst centrist schlock pile of bad faith actors in the Capitol area. And it's no label. It's the no labels people. It's the left and right and blah, 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 who are, you know, I forget who the Republicans are on the board. It's a David Brooks stick, and Joe Lieberman is one of the co-chairs.
Of course, right. And it's all the never Trumpers that appear on MSNBC every day.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't offend me if this were a different planet.
Right.
And we were watching the news like a sitcom. Like, I can't believe these people keep, you know, shoving their heads so far up their ass they see out of their own mouth. I can't believe they're doing this. But they're doing this to us. These are the people who own the news.
Yep.
And set the agenda and set the terms of the vocabulary under which things will be discussed.
Right.
And that's why outsiders, like, for example, you, my dear.
Yes.
Are absolutely necessary. I mean, it is, you know, we're never going to be on MSNBC. We're never going to be within poking distance of these fools.
No.
But somebody has to be sort of explaining to the good souls out there the vocabulary of resistance.
Yeah.
What they're listening to and why they're hearing this and why you can't really trust what they're saying, because here's their long tail of here's their agenda. And here, this has been the agenda at Meet the Press for, you know, since Russell was there.
Yeah. And why? Why is Chuck Toad still at Meet the Press? Why?
Phil Griffin wants him there. I mean,
I guess. I thought Phil Griffin was gone. Didn't he? Somebody left.
No, yeah. He left. He was replaced. I don't know. Maybe it's some delayed reaction. He'll go eventually. But it always amuses me that when people who don't know any better get all weepy eyed for good old Tim Russert. Oh, my God. He must be spinning in his grave. I put my internet social media arm around them and say, remember a guy named David Gregory?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. God.
There was this other guy. Yeah. David Gregory was freaking awful.
Horrible.
Exactly as awful in exactly the same way as Chuck Todd.
That's right. Now, yeah.
Line these two up and tell me that's the job requirement. They want someone like that on the show who will not push back on any Republicans, who will line up a panel of idiots, and will make sure the Beltway consensus opinion on all matters is valorized,
mm-hmm.
and the liberal opinion is never heard by anyone.
Wow.
That's the job. So they're going to hire someone who will do that job. And Chuck Todd, by their lights, is doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. And they plucked him out of near obscurity. I mean, I think he worked at the National Journal hotline when Tim Russert died. And they plucked him out of there and put him on, you know, made him the political director of NBC News. I thought, wow, that's a promotion.
Well, we had something similar at the city of Chicago, which was the department heads. Once you were in that little club, you were never laid off.
Wow.
Because it would freak all the other department heads out if anyone ever lost a job. So there was this club of people who were always in circulation, who never lost their job, no matter how badly they did their job, because the self-protectiveness of that bubble was the point of having the bubble in the first place.
Right. Ugh. God.
Yeah.
The tide has to turn one of these days. It's time for the privileged and the people who run everything to take a step down and let everybody else have their day. I mean, there's got to be a great reckoning sometime soon, because we can't continue like this. I think today was a step in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I'm deeply grateful for it. I'm deeply grateful for all the juries who listened to the evidence, jurors who listened to the evidence and rendered an honest, decent verdict on a man who should definitely never see the light of day again.
Yep.
And I hope the family has some measure of relief.
Well, I hope so, too, because now remember, at the beginning of the trial, actually before testimony began, we learned that the city of Minneapolis settled with them for $27 million. So between the $27 million and Derek Chauvin, guilty on all counts, I'm sure they're feeling a little better today. They're still missing their family member. Nothing right. is going to bring him back. And I'm sure they'd give up everything else to have him back. But if that's not possible, this is the next best thing.
You know, I think you've hit on something there. I think money will solve this problem. I think the amount of pain cities go through in paying out things. Yep. Go look up Chicago and see how many hundreds of millions of dollars have been paid out over the years in police abuse cases.
Yeah, and you got another one coming up. You know, it never ends. It's a cycle that never ends. Driftglass, I'm going to let you run. Thank you so much for being here today. It's always great to talk to you, and it was nice to have you to commiserate with today, to share good news for once in a while.
Oh, by the way, helicopters on Mars. Helicopters on Mars.
All right, we'll have to save that for next time. Because we got off on the Mark Halperin talk. So Mark Halperin or helicopters on Mars. So, yeah, that's where we are. Driftglass, find him at driftglass.blogspot.com. And, of course, proleftpod.com for the Professional Left Podcast. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. Okay, bye-bye. There you go. That is Driftglass, one of the OG bloggers. And always good to talk to him. All right, I'm going to run. Don't forget, I will not be here tomorrow. So tomorrow, you'll have my show from the day after I was arrested. I promise you, it's compelling listening. I'll see you Thursday. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
You were told that Mr. Floyd died because his heart was too big. You heard that testimony. And now, having seen all the evidence, having heard all the evidence, you know the truth. And the truth of the matter is that the reason George Floyd is dead is because Mr. Chauvin's heart was too small.
And with that, the trial ends. Those were the final words spoken during the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. Now, following 2 weeks of testimony and closing arguments on Monday, it's in the hands of the jury. The presiding judge, Peter Cahill, responded to a defense motion for mistrial over comments made by Congresswoman Maxine Waters Saturday night. Waters was in Minneapolis at a protest when she was asked what people should do if Chauvin is acquitted.
We got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Some Republicans say she was inciting violence, but supporters say she was clearly referencing the civil rights movement's history of nonviolence. As for the judge, he said no mistrial.
Well, I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. I'm aware of the media reports. I'm aware that Congresswoman Waters was talking specifically about this trial and about the unacceptability of anything less than a murder conviction and talk about being confrontational, but you can submit the press articles about that. This goes back to what I've been saying from the beginning. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function. I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful and in a manner that is consistent with their oath to the Constitution, to respect a co-equal branch of government. A congresswoman's opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot.
A medical report detailing the cause of death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died the day after he engaged with the January 6th rioters, was finally released on Monday, but it's not what we expected. The report says that Sicknick had two strokes and died of natural causes. The finding may complicate prosecutors' case against the two rioters accused of using chemical irritants or bear spray to assault Sicknick. Another reason I'm seriously considering leaving Florida, the Trump impersonator posing as governor, Ron DeSantis, signed into law on Monday HB1. This new law, euphemistically known as the Anti-Riot Bill, is actually a direct attack on the First Amendment. Republicans claim the new law will combat, quote, public disorder. But it actually defines a riot as a public disturbance involving three or more people who, in the opinion of the beholder, are committing disorderly conduct. And it even grants civil immunity to anyone who might drive over protesters blocking the road. Yes, this bill gives license to vehicular manslaughter. DeSantis praised the bill's protections for, quote, all of the state's monuments, probably a reference to those honoring the Confederacy. Florida, indeed. Although much of the world, and certainly many here in the U.S., are acting as if we're at the end of the pandemic, new coronavirus cases are surging. India now has the second highest number of cases in the world, ahead of Brazil, which reported over 13.9 million cases. The U.S. has had 31.7 million. Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department announced it's updating its travel guidelines to more closely align with CDC recommendations. That means approximately 80% of countries worldwide will now fall under the highest travel advisory level, level 4, which means do not travel. From the Karma is a Bitch files, Ted Nugent. You know who I'm talking about, the guitar player, who spent the last year pushing his ridiculous coronavirus and anti-vaccine conspiracy theories. Well, Ted Nugent has now announced that he's got COVID. Since the pandemic surfaced last year, Nugent has described it as a, quote, scam, ridiculed mask wearers as sheep, and proudly announced that he would never take a coronavirus vaccine. But he went on Facebook Live on Monday, complaining to viewers, quote, I've had flu symptoms for the last 10 days. I thought I was dying. I was tested positive today. I got the Chinese shit. I've got a stuffed up head, body aches. My God, what a pain in the ass. I literally could hardly crawl out of bed the last few days. Science, Ted. Trust the science, moron. Well, we're learning more about the gunman who authorities say shot and killed eight people at a FedEx facility last week. An Indiana prosecutor says shortcomings in the state's red flag law allowed the 19-year-old shooter to legally purchase two assault rifles, even though his family previously had a firearm seized by police after the shooter's mother told law enforcement that she was worried that he might attempt, quote, suicide by cop. The shooter was put on immediate mental health temporary hold and taken to a hospital for evaluation. One of the responding officers said that the shooter had been browsing what can only be described as white supremacist websites. Officials still have not identified a motive in last week's shooting. But police in Texas and Wisconsin on Monday arrested suspects in two of the other recent shootings across the country. The Sheriff's Department in Kenosha County, Wisconsin, said one person had been detained and would be charged with first-degree intentional homicide for the fatal shooting of three men in a bar near Kenosha. And police in Austin, Texas, arrested former deputy Stephen Broderick on charges for a Sunday morning shooting that left two women and a man dead. Broderick was taken into custody after a resident called 911 to report seeing him. And remember the alleged school shooting in Tennessee last week in which the student with the gun was the only one killed? Well, today we're learning more, including the fact that Anthony Thompson Jr., a 17-year-old black high school student, did not shoot an officer before police killed him inside a school bathroom last week. Stay tuned. And in a surprising but welcome move, the Supreme Court on Monday rejected requests to hear three challenges to a federal ban on gun ownership by people convicted of driving under the influence, making false statements on tax returns, and selling counterfeit cassette tapes. The High Court gave no explanation for its refusal to hear the appeals, but it did mark the latest in a series of cases in which the Supremes, despite the newly strengthened 6-3 right-wing majority, has declined to hear cases addressing gun rights and disappointed Second Amendment advocates who had hoped the court would steadily erode restrictions on guns. Another big day for NASA as its Ingenuity helicopter successfully completed its historic flight on Mars and landed safely back on the surface. And finally, former Vice President Walter Mondale has died at the age of 93. Mondale served under former President Jimmy Carter from 1977 to 1981. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.